March 2023 meeting to order. First up, we have the action on the minutes from February 21st. Can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed say nay. And we have an approval on the February 21st, 2023 minutes.
So I'm going to report the February financials to you and discuss. So in preparation for my leave, which may start sometime next month or whenever, just depending on things, the senior accountant Matt Sable has been assisting in preparation for the financial statements in my absence. So he helped prepare these. I did review, but I'm going to present them. Water department for the month of February 2023, billed revenue was up 19.9% and consumption was also up, so doing well. We did have a profit of $214,000 compared to last year, and our fiscal year-to-date access and impact fees are spending the same as they have the entire year, less than the prior 2 years. Speaking with engineering department, they are seeing a slowdown in reviews and constructions. We're not sure if it's a trend or a lull or exactly what's going on here, but it is pretty consistent with the activity or lack thereof that they're seeing. I think on the engineering budget, you'll see how few civil reviews they're even doing right now. However, year-to-date profit is more than the prior year and still ahead of budget. And for the sewer department, billed revenue was also up. It was up 14.5% from last February. And the consumption was up 8.2%. We did have a loss. Want to explain this for the sewer department for the first time in a long time. We have a sewer rehabilitation project with Goodwin and Goodwin that the field and engineering have been working with. It came to my attention through discussion that some of this work was for cleanup of the system, more of a repair maintenance type issues rather than rehabilitation. So we took that portion, which was $460,000, that was for cleanup, cammering, root removal, those kinds of things, and moved it to expense. I've been told by Johnny for the field department and engineering that that cleanup work should end now. They just needed to get kind of caught up on some things. So that was not budgeted in the expense side, but it does come out of the same cash account, so that was considered. Fiscal year to date profit, or sorry, access and impact fees, again following the same trend as sewer, behind the prior 2 years at $641,000. And our year to date profit is still ahead of budget by about $75,000, so we're still doing okay for the year. Restricted and unrestricted funds doing very well, $47.2 million, with $7.8 million of that being restricted for specific purposes. So doing well still financially, even with that loss in the sewer department. Wanted to also update you on some office operations. Beginning in mid-February, we began applying late penalties again for customers, and March 2nd, we resumed disconnections. So we're now at the point now where we're billing timely. We have been for a couple of months. So we felt it was time to move on to the next stage and resume our normal operations. So we did resume penalties in February. For the first month that we're doing, we have 4 billing cycles. We have, based on where you are in the city, we have put in an additional customer notification. So our typical process is standard bill. 3 weeks later, you have your due date, and then you get a new red bill, which is like a late bill, that has a 10% penalty. If you still don't pay by another week, in 2 days, you get another reminder bill. And then 4 days, business days later, we give you a text or phone call. 2 days later, we disconnect you. So that's a normal process. With this, we are sending an additional robo, we call them robo text, but phone calls 2 days after the due date. So that's increasing our call volume. You know, we have 800 calls where normally we only shut off 200 or 300, but we feel like that is appropriate considering how much in arrears. Some accounts are behind, and we want to make sure they have enough time to make payment arrangements, get some additional funding that they have. So we figure more communication is in the customer's best interest. But after we complete this 1 month of disconnects, we plan to go back to just the one phone call 2 days before the disconnection per our normal. Does that make sense, how I explain that?
How many calls are there normally in a normal month? Like,
so it calls it under 1,000.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So yeah, and so with us doing this additional robocall, you know, we're sending out to people who would have paid before they would have been disconnected. But there's those people that haven't paid for 4 months who might have 4 months of bills, and we thought 2 days. Maybe they don't open their mail. We've heard that. Some people don't open their mail, or just another method of notification to help them. And we're making payment arrangements beyond our quote-unquote normal payment arrangements. Typically, we say you have to pay all of your past due to avoid disconnection. We're saying, can you pay $200, 25% of your bill, and get on a payment plan? So it is creating more work for the office, but we feel like that is warranted to help the customer avoid
disconnection. Well, now's a good time for a lot of them to catch up, because probably those kind of folks are the ones that are getting refunds and their tax returns.
Yes. Yeah, and we said if you make our agreement and make the agreement, we cannot allow you to continue to get further behind on your bill. You know, we can't make a payment arrangement in that regard. But as long as you don't continue to get behind and you make the arrangements, we'll work with you. So I just wanted to point out, with all of this, though, we had new software, new service order, interactive map programming, new notification system, and new staff. And we're still, I'd like to say this process with all of us working together has gone better than I think all of the departments have anticipated. So I'm very pleased with that. So I just want to show you this quick year-to-date income analysis. Water department, we are about 1.2, 1.3 million ahead of the prior year, so very healthy. This is the last quote-unquote larger year of our rate increase. We had 12.5% rate increase in the water department this year. Next year we go to 4, so it drops back down. And in the sewer department, we're 75,000 ahead of the prior. We had a 9% rate increase this year. Next year we'll go down to 3. That is all I have for you, unless there are any other questions. Oh, one more thing. I think I mentioned last month that we have what we call our non-consumption billing, which is our accounts receivable other, which is for construction services and sewer taps and water taps. We are now largely caught up on that process as well. So the office is headed in the right direction for billing software. So.
Jennifer,
that's my goal. Let's get it, girls.
Hey, Jennifer, the $460,000 that was reclassified, was over the course of that was like year to date, eight months worth.
Yeah, I think we started November to February, about 4 months worth of work. Yeah, and we just went and made it in 1 month rather than go back to the same.
Yep. Very good.
And any field repair maintenance expense line item.
All right, thank you.
I'm gonna do some of that at my work.
I'm gonna give Todd's presentation. Figure out where it's at.
Yeah, you can go to page
50. 49.
Go to the top.
There we go. Yeah, that's me. All right, as you can see, looking at our permit stuff, we're kind of, you know, a little bit higher in January on our limits for phosphorus, solids, and ammonia, CBOD, but still well within our required limits for our state permitting testing. Not sure why that's in there. As far as our industrial pretreatment activities for the month, You know, there's, it's like there's one violation to Tyson's or Rogers, which amounted, you know, to a small surcharge. I think the budget year so far is at $73,000. Not, that's for all of our industries there, but. Fog inspection report, 60 known facilities pumped in February. Like they've done some work, riser work at one of them. Texas Roadhouse had a lid fix that had been running over by the trash truck, it appears. Looks like a couple of them got off of their required pumping frequency, but Amber caught that and got them back on track. And the old Panda location has been tore down, the Inceptor backfilled with material, so we can't get any water coming in that way. Looks like everything else was pretty routine. As far as the operations at the plant, still searching for our maintenance tech. We've got Randy Myers, who's going to be retiring here next month, so we're looking for his replacement. I know that's been ongoing. I think we've got a pretty good candidate this past week that Dana kind of gleaned for us, and I think we're going to take a look at him sometime this next week once Todd gets back in the office. Obviously, working on getting our budget put together for this next fiscal year. We treated 293.7 million gallons in February, approximately 110 million gallons of that was from INI. We had four inches of rain, 10 events. I mean, that tells you it's pretty small events, but that's a lot of rain. Kept the ground surcharge for sure. Our historical average is 2.24. We bought right at 8 million gallons a day from Beaver Water, and we averaged 12.4 million gallons a day for the month. For those that don't know, our treatment plant is rated at 14 million gallons per day. So obviously we can go higher than that, but that's kind of where our permit values stand on our flow at the plant right now. We did have one EQ basin overflow, started on late, I think around 10 o'clock in the evening on the 8th, and ended around 10 o'clock in the evening on the 10th. Basically, we lost around 12 million gallons of water over the wall. Obviously, we have to notify the state when that happens. Operate, we catch sample. We've got an SOP set up for whenever that happens. We go into a sampling protocol, and our lab performs testing that's required by the state on that water, just as the same, basically the same parameters that we run on our effluent. Obviously, it usually always is really diluted. I mean, we're talking about a lot of rainwater, so there's not really a lot of you know, phosphorus or ammonia in that water, but we do test for it. I know Todd had updated you guys some on the sand filters in the past. We was having trouble with them tracking and keeping them functioning. And this past month we did get those squared away and was able to replace the tracking wheels themselves. And they're all three functioning well now. So that's about all I got, unless you guys got any questions for me.
I've got one.
Okay.
So I haven't done the tour yet. Do we have equalization?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so we're able to handle 14 million gallons a day.
That's where on number four there is EQ. We have 12 and a half million gallons of storage.
Okay.
So basically,
glad we got it.
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously, we're looking at, you know, expanding in the future, and probably one of the main things we'll be looking at is, do we need more EQ storage? So, but yeah, that's where we have a run over. Because we can meter everything to that location.
Yeah.
So basically, them walls are 16 foot tall. They run over the top.
Yeah.
So we catch a sample from what runs over the top, and then that's where that's what we're talking about, number four.
Got it. Thank you.
You bet.
We don't have engineering.
No engineering. Brian
on spring break. That was good timing.
So, sorry, mine didn't make it in there. Jennifer was cracking the whip last Friday, and I had to try to finish my budget. And so just got a couple of highlights and stuff that we want to talk about. So, you know, we've been putting the leak monitors out, and we've been talking to you about those. We're actually working on a presentation that we'll be doing at the Hot Springs Conference, and we could end up actually doing it at the National Conference too. We're submitting an abstract for it later with Garver, which is our engineer that's been working with us on it and stuff. So so Garver, all this information I've been sending to him to build this PowerPoint and stuff, he's ran all the numbers and stuff. So since 2019, when we started that leak monitor program, he's estimated that our water, non-revenue waters, went down about 80 million gallons for those since 2019, with the cost savings of about $120,000 annually. So basically, our leak loggers have already paid for themselves. They continue to pay for themselves. You know, we're still finding leaks with them. We're to the lake area. We're up Highway 94 to the end of our service line up there, back into town, and now we're coming across town here up to 8th Street, and then with our next project, and then we'll continue to go throughout the city until we get them all within the city and stuff, is our ultimate goal, to have those out there where they're working for us full time and stuff. So Brent's also been running some, tracking some numbers, and he's actually noticed that our buying from Beaver has went down as our sales have went up. So, we're having more water to sell that we're not losing and everything. So, like I said, that seems to be working very well for us. And this past on 3/10, David called Brian and said something was going on at the plant, and so we started walking the creeks on Monday 3/13, trying to figure out what areas that we could possibly have extra amount of water coming in. We know of one area that we're working on getting fixed now. So we was walking creeks, and one of our guys found a 8-inch line that was running full. So we traced it back, and what we found went to the very end, up as far as we could, where the flow went back to normal. Then we stuck a camera in. What we found was a 4-inch service that had went across the creek that had got washed out, and we were actually draining the creek up there off Olive Street. So, and at a pretty significant rate. Brian estimated that decrease the flow into the plant about 400 to 500,000 gallons a day going into the plant just with that one fix. We've also, while we were walking it, we found multiple manholes that we met with the contractor today to get in and start helping repair those, that we have a lot of I&I coming in. Those manholes that we want to get taken care of, so maybe that's going to help even reduce more flow going to the plant. And as we're doing that, the bore permits, we've been talking about bore permits and stuff too. Our bore permit program was working very well. We've actually, the city of Hot Springs is, they contacted me at the end of last year, and they've actually implemented the program now that's kind of like following our guidelines. Conway had reached out to Brent and asked about it. I will be teaching down in Conway the following month. So we're going to sit down when I'm down there teaching one night. I'm going to meet with the manager, and we're going to walk through the program, exactly how we're doing it and everything, to give him a good grasp of how that's going and everything. The state legislation is actually taking some of our ideas and passing it through state legislation now. Mike Golan with 811 has come up and had been talking to me and wanted to get some more information, and so they're actually trying to pass some of our bore permit stuff through state legislation and everything. So any questions?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Johnny.
That is all for the reports. On to new business.
Good evening.
Howdy.
All right, so we opened up bids for our 2023 miscellaneous water lines. We've got 8 different locations by the time it was all said and done. It just slowly grew throughout the year. We got 2 bids come in, one from Goins and one from Boyle's Construction. So we opened up with Boyle's being at $1,876,995.60. It was pretty good, or a little bit lower. We've seen this with some other companies that are out of the Little Rock area. They tend to come up here and be a little bit lower until they work around here for a little while. And
Boyle's is out of Little Rock?
Yes, sir. They're out of Little Rock. He said they've done a few jobs for like Cave Springs.
Mm.
They've just recently gotten up here. They're about, I think, around 30 employees total for their company. So they're a smaller company. But staff is recommending Boyle's for this job.
That's good to see. We're used to seeing them on the other, on the other side of things.
Yeah.
I'd make a motion to approve Boyle's.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Ayes have it. 4-0.
Okay.
Howdy.
So this is a resolution for asking for a renewal of the contract for a networking system security monitor. That is with ComSys. Hold up. So we have a pretty good relationship with them. We went with them in 2021, renewed again in 2022, and this will be the second renewal. The cost per unit stayed the same. Some of the units, the quantity of units went up slightly, but we actually expect that to go down again. So this is a pretty straightforward, just contract renewal. Staff recommends the approval of the renewal with ComSys.
Why does this have to come to us? No matter the dollar amount?
Well, this one is for $78,000, so.
Yeah.
Ah.
But, yeah, no, not under the bid limit. Manager can approve the contract. The renewal of this contract needs to be approved by the resolution.
Very good.
I make a motion that we approve resolution 23-06. Authorizing renewal of network and system security monitoring contract with ComSys.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed nay. That one passes 4-0. What is that bid limit? $25,000 or $30,000?
$35,000.
It's close.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll take these last two. So the first one is a motion to approve an agreement for professional services between Rogers and Hawkins Weir. What this is, we've gotten all the way to the point, and I'll skip ahead here. Obviously, it's a fairly complex RFP. We thought it'd be a little simpler, frankly, but when you get into two $10 million pieces of equipment, approximately warranties, how it's going to be delivered, and you sprinkle in a little ANRC grant parameters, then we have this. This is what we have. So we've got a CMAR, which is not a standard contracting method for the ANRC. So there's just a lot of language that must be in there, must be correct. And everybody has to agree, including the manufacturer, 2 sets of engineers, and RWU. So it's a little more than the normal. And then there's some, they're going to prepare some architectural renderings as well so that we can really make a good decision when this comes down to it. As you know, we're very close. You might have seen some of this, might not have. It's phenomenally close for the amount of money. And I've got some, these are kind of the drawings here to start with. This is the two Hubers right here, and you can see these are the doors. It's very long, all these sets. And then we've got just, you know, 180 degree difference of what types of material we, or what type of equipment we have. Here's the second one, and that's 60 feet from here to here. You know, basically four stories of dryer there, two times. So we're trying to get to the layout, what's the most efficient, what works best for Todd and David and their crews. You know, it's just going to come down. We need as much information as possible. This is going to give us all the information. It's going to put it on the table. When we get all that, then we'll come to you with a recommendation. But this is for an amendment to the original agreement, again, because it cost, took a little more time than we thought. And it was the $109,500. So I'd make a motion, staff approves making this amendment with Hawkins Weir and the engineers in RW.
What did Black and Veatch do for you? Just curious.
Black and Veatch has been the consultant on a lot of the process.
Got it.
You know, we've been with these two since the start. When we vetted all of the different, we started out with, you know, the that's the one that rolls, David. Yeah, we started out with everything on the plate.
Yeah.
And we've gotten it all the way down to two. And Black and Veatch, Hawkins Weir, some, you know, one road trip to try to figure out what's going to be best for RW. Because we have the history with the Thermaflight we have, we're going to be very conservative on our approach here. We're not going with any knee jerks. We're getting it all the way down. And phenomenally, again, it's amazing to me that we're getting this far and it hasn't picked one or the other. You know, one or the other hasn't started to gain an advantage, and they have not. As you saw last time, they were both 31 something million.
It's not the lesser of two evils, though, is it, Brent?
No, I don't think so. I think one, it just comes down to what Todd always says. One of them, we know what we're going to get. There's just going to be a lot of moving parts. We don't know how long we'll get it. And the other one is, we know we'll get whatever we get out of the end of it forever and ever, as long as we put it in correctly on the front side. And they couldn't be any more different. But it's going to come down to operations. They're going to drive a lot of this decision making, so we'll monitor the money and everything else. But this is to set it up, tee it up for the NRC for those funds that we have been awarded, the $2.5 million. And to do that, we also have to have you know, all the contract language. There are strings attached. It's part of it.
Very good. I'd make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. 4-0.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions on them?
They are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And they're massive, too. The last resolution, 2307, as you know, we used to have quite a few antennas on the Persimmon Tower. We had three different carriers, I believe, and the one down here by the post office. We've got one left, that's AT&T, and that's because that was the original contract on that thing was for 25 years, I believe. It's 5 years and another guaranteed 5 years. Well, as you know, we have decommissioned that in Rogers Water Utilities. But we need to do that formally so that we can tell AT&T we have decommissioned it don't plan on having your antenna up there anymore, because right now, frankly, we don't need it. The only thing it's serving is AT&T. It's not even connected to our water system. We don't have to do anything right away. You know, that I think it's 2025, I believe, Robert, when that contract is up.
Well, I think they could renew it again in 2025 or 2030, but we can send a notice of non-renewal a year out. I think it was what Chris tried to do. Have a document that will formally decommission the water tower so that we can terminate the contract.
How much are they paying, out of curiosity?
No.
14,000.
How much?
14,000 for it.
A year.
Yeah, a year.
It's not enough to maintain it.
Yeah.
And we don't want to get into the money. Yeah, the idea would be that once they're off of it, then we can do whatever we want. And in a purely economic sense, we'll dismantle it. Because to paint it, which it needs another painting, to paint it, as you know, the last time we painted Tower Park was 1.4. It'd be less than that. It's a smaller tank, but you paint it for, you know, and then you're going to have to paint it again. So if you just bite the bullet, take it down once, and then you're done. But we haven't, we don't have any dates or anything associated with that. This resolution in front of you is only to formally decommission it, so that we can meet the contract requirements to tell them it's no longer available.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution.
Sorry.
23-07, authorizing decommission of the Persimmon Street elevated storage tank and for other purposes.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. The ayes have it. All right.
Yeah, it'll be early day.
It will. Do we have anybody else wanting to speak? I think we have somebody.
We don't have a public forum per se.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we can't. We don't have a public forum, and they couldn't make a decision on it anyway.
Yeah, we didn't intend to speak. We thought we would have a dialogue with you, with someone here today.
If not necessarily here.
Yeah, not necessarily here.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Do I have to get a motion to adjourn, or do we just adjourn?
Let's adjourn.
Yeah.
It's easy enough.